The Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Yes, people. Hello and welcome back to VAR You Serious. There's a lot of energy in this intro, how I just open the show, but let me tell you, inside I'm crying. I'm crying. I've had a tough weekend. Oh, I didn't even have a tough weekend. I had a tough Sunday, and you know why. We'll get into it a bit later. We're going to obviously firstly talk about what's gone in the week. We've just got a special guest, as always. He's returning back to VAR You Serious. A very, very amazing comedian who's currently touring as well. We've got Ali Woods back in the building.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Good to be back. We're good again. This is what I want from my football podcast, is to be invited back when we're up the league table.
To be fair, guys are doing really well.
Yeah.
You really well. A lot of my best friends are Man United fans, and they're smiling a lot. And I'm just like, wow. And I looked at the table and I was like, bloody hell, you guys are above Liverpool. And looking like you probably will finish above Liverpool as well.
Oh, easy, mate. Third. We're coming for second.
In a title race?
Is that City fan? Yeah. No, title race, man. Arsenal winning the title. Let's be clear. Okay, on that one. You should be calm about that. It's going to be the little most boring team to ever win the league, but, you know, you're like Chelsea without any sauce up front.
Not going to buy it.
You know, old school Chelsea, Mourinho. It's like, imagine Mourinho's Chelsea, no Hazard. That's you.
It's good for radio to bite, but I'm not going to bite because I'm sensitive today.
Yeah?
I'm sensitive. Like, yes, Saka is not performing like Hazard in that Chelsea team. Yes, there's little.
Mate, Saka's a good lad, though. He's a good lad.
Good lad.
Good, nice guy. Take him home to your mum.
Exactly. You know. Exactly. You bring him back. You say he's an educated youth as well. He's doing very well in school.
Respectful.
For the grades, yeah, respectful. Yeah, yeah. Star boy. But he's just not playing very well at the moment. But that's fine. There's conversations. These uncomfortable conversations are for another day. Of course, we have like Ting Full Hat conspiracies. We have stories. We have things, you know, stories about people's footballing journeys and ways into the industry and their careers and whatnot, which we're going to get into. But I also want to mention on the show, we talk about truths as well. I think there's a lot of times where fans can probably get labelled with delusion or conspiracies, but actually fans that, you know, they follow their team from through thick and thin. They've been there from the beginning. I believe they know their teams very, very well. I was actually I'm doing a course at the moment with the PFA and Gary.
Oh, nice.
Gary Neville was our guest speaker.
Oh, wow.
Last week.
What's the course? What, for management?
Media. Well, it is. It's media management and football management.
Are you going to be a manager?
Well, I'm not going to be. I don't know. I could have done my badges years ago. I got my level 2 and I said,
Spurs job coming up, man. Am I getting back up? Getting back up, man.
Inside job. Yeah, Cecil G signs as manager for Tottenham Hotspur. It's media management, media communications, and it's football management and football business management. Sorry. So it was interesting. He said like he's changed his view on fans as well and how much they know about football in general, especially nowadays. Like everyone's a tactician or a stacto and all these things. So he was just like, I have a newfound respect for fans, and it was nice. He was a good guest speaker.
I was thinking about this, right? Do you imagine if there were like these tactical podcasts, but back in the day with like Ronaldinho and stuff, where you'd have some data guy being like, "Nah, he's washed. his progressive jewels is like not good
not
enough.
Good. Too much flicks in the air, and not looking at the ball when he's passing, when he should be concentrating. It'll be that.
He takes the ball with the inside of his right foot when really he should have opened up so that, you know, I would have been dead. Old school Ronaldo just like turning up and just being like, nah, man. He's coming onto the scene. He's a winger, but he's not putting the crosses per blah blah blah. Literally. Where it's like Jermaine Pennant, the crosses per blah blah blah. Wow, you need to get him on like Moneyball this.
Facts. Yeah. They'll say, he creates so much XG, Jermaine Pennant. But you see, Ronaldinho, he did that flip-flop. He didn't need to do that.
Waste of time.
Saying that just, again, that brings me back to yesterday. Cherky was doing kick-ups and I was just... Anyway,
That's disrespectful, man.
It's so disrespectful.
I love it, though. I hated all the chat about that, where it's like, all these like, oh, like middle-aged white blokes just being like, we can't do that now in a final, right? It's entertainment. That's what we're here. That's what kids on the street aren't going to be playing football, trying to hold it up in the corner, being like, oh, I want to be like my heroes, going down.
Yeah, it's fun. When it's against you, obviously, it's aggravating. But I'll be honest, I saw it and I went, oh, this cheeky.
Yeah, of course. And he's not even what he's like thinking about what he's going to watch when he gets home when he's doing it. His touch is so good, his technique is unreal.
He's waiting for the player to come press him, he's just doing kick-ups. I said, brother, we're in a final, we're losing. Someone go through him. And I think he did like a no-look pass. Yeah. I don't know, listen.
He didn't do anything at Old Trafford this year, but it's a tough place to go.
Oh, I like that. I don't mind that today, Ali. Right, let's kick off. Even though we have been doing a bit of play for the beginning of the show, but let's kick off properly and let's just get into. Firstly, obviously, like I just mentioned, you're touring at the moment. So let's just talk about your career so far. You're on tour. We mentioned just off air that you have you're going to Australia, you're going to France. Like, firstly, how is it going? How is tour going? Are you enjoying it? Is it something you enjoy?
It's good. I really like it. I really love the crowds. I've got such nice crowds, man. I don't know how. They're so lovely. Wow. They're like polite, nice, friendly on the way out.
No wankers. Yeah, no one trying to interrupt or like.
No, not really, man. They're more the other way. They're like socially anxious. No one ever wants to sit in the front row of my gigs. I don't even want to talk to these people. My show is my show. I don't care about these people's lives. And they're so scared to sit in the front row. But I'm like, come on, it's all good. We'll have a good time, man. On the way out, they're so lovely. So I get nice crowds. It's my second tour. I'm getting more audience than last tour. So that's what we can hope for. Doing more shows, different places. So going all around the UK. Just came back from Dublin, and then the week before I was in Germany, I was in Netherlands, I was in Sweden.
Wait, you were in Dublin when? Well, last week?
This weekend, yeah.
Was it St. Patrick's?
Saturday night. Yeah, St. Patrick's Day was on Tuesday, I think, or something, so it was like the weekend of. That's why I said to them, when I was doing my announcement, I was like, what a way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day weekend, listening to a British guy for an hour. Just start give a little bit of chat on the way in, I say, but it's really great, and I've had really, really fun times. Like, did it again out in Barcelona, and as I say, I'm going to Melbourne, and then if there's any people in London or Manchester, like our clubs listen to this, I've got my London show in May, 15th of May at Shepherd's Bush Empire, so it's like 1,000-seater, so it's going to be a big one, and then Manchester, 9th of May, Fairfield Social Club. I'm recording my special there, so I haven't actually announced that yet, but I'm recording a special there. We're doing two shows. It's an awesome venue. So yeah, if you want to come to any of them, come along.
Six.
I always get the plug in early because I don't know what you're going to edit afterwards. Every 10 minutes, I'm doing a plug.
It stays in. Don't worry, because I actually want to be at that show in May. I want to try and be there as well. As hopefully, we'll be celebrating first here in North London, and then I can come and enjoy your comedy show. How do you deal with people that interrupt though? Have you had that? Have you had like?
Oh yeah, I had it on the weekend. Dublin would have been Friday. Saturday I was back in London, and I walked on Top Secret. Comedy club, banging comedy club.
Yes.
Yeah, I was doing all three rooms they have there. So I was doing the Kingsway room last, and that was like 300 seater. And I just walk on, and a bloke in the far corner, in the dark, you can't see it, just goes, Ed Sheeran! Like, that's the start of the gig for me. I don't say a single word, I walk on. But you know what? I've got like a routine on looking like Ed Sheeran anyway. So I was like, just went into that, and it was like a lovely way to start. Sick. But you get used to it. You know what? Someone gave me, linking back to this show, someone gave me a really good piece of advice with that, another comic, where he's like, people heckling and shouting, it's like a dog running on the football pitch. That's what it's like. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're different types. Some of them are aggressive. Some of them are really friendly or whatever. And it's just about kind of guiding them back off so the game can continue.
That's a nice way to look at it.
Shout out Jay Neal. I think in our heads we have this idea of like a heckler really putting you down. Yeah. But most of the time...
It's quite chill.
It's quite chill. Or they're just getting involved. Or they're not going to be funnier than you. Like, realistically, if they are, then that's terrible for you as a comic.
That's a problem.
It's rare. And sometimes people come in with something funny and you just give them their plaudits. You go, oh, that's good. And then everyone laughs and it carries on. That's all they wanted.
Especially
in the UK. In the UK, people heckle more.
Do they?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I keep getting told by my friends to go to... Or I think they watch comedy shows online. They say in America, it's like... It's natural that they have to do it, but is that true, or is it worse? Is it big in America? I don't know if you've gigged.
Well, actually, legally, I haven't gigged out in New York. But if I were to gig in New York, then basically, this is what I feel it would have been like if I were to have done that, which I obviously haven't.
Yeah.
But in there, I think they're more likely to whoop and cheer and get involved in that way. But the idea of them shouting something at you specifically, I didn't find that at all. I found they had a bit more respect for, like, you were the comic.
Nice.
I'm going to say New York. I mean, America's a huge place. Who knows what it's like down in Austin or LA or whatever.
Yeah, fair.
But in the UK, you know, you walk on the stage, half the blokes in there think they're funnier than you.
That
before
so
you start,
true.
You know
that
what I mean? Because
so
that's a big thing. British men, that's a huge deal for us.
Yeah.
We have to be funny. Like, you can be ugly, you can be poor, but if you're funny, people are like, I love that guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's so true.
They don't care about the other stuff.
So true.
But so you've got to prove to them, because they're all the funniest ones in their groups and stuff, so they're more likely to
shout. I feel it's quite hard to make laugh as like a culture. I feel like Brits, I feel like they can be quite, well, London. Mm. I've been to comedy shows in London, and I've been to Top Secret, and I'm like, oh, I don't know how are they going to get this crowd laughing, but I think it's tough when it comes to a London crowd. But like you said, I think I'm glad that you're gigging in London. You're gigging around the world, bro. Congrats. I think that just deserves.
I'm just trying to find people who find me funny, so I got to go to a lot of places. You know, that's.
No, don't say that. I know you're fine.
All over the world.
I follow you on social media as well. I love your content. Where's your favorite place to gig? then?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I mean, so home.
And why actually?
Home game London, like London tour shows are banging because okay, it's just like, you know, that's where I grew up and it's where I live. And so it's like, just feels so nice to be like amongst your group of people.
Do you do jokes about London then, in London?
Or, it's about, or... I mean, if I've got something interesting to say, like a lot of comics based in London have something about like the tube or whatever. And I don't really care about that as much nowadays. I've kind of gone through a lot of that material. But if I have something interesting or something recent has happened. Fair. But whenever I go somewhere else in my tour, I always start with jokes about the place. Always, man. Yeah, I can't. So
yeah,
I can't not do that. So, but yeah, Dublin was really great. What else has been good on this tour? Cambridge was actually banging, which is surprising. Ooh. I didn't think Cambridge would be that. But it was like on a Saturday night, amazing. Newcastle, banging, so good. Stockholm in Sweden, awesome. They were so good.
Do you see these places though? Because I follow football and we go to play Newcastle and I try and make a big effort of like, let's go tup-tup, even though it's probably now I'm way too old for that now. But I'm like, let's try and see, yeah, go out and experience. Yeah.
Have a Greggs, night out. That's the Newcastle that's life. Like, you've basically done it, right? Yeah.
So that's quite, that's actually very
sausage
true.
Roll, two-stepping in the club. Yeah. Everyone's like, proper Geordie, fair play.
That's it, starter pack for when you want to go to Newcastle. So do you get, like, even Stockholm, I've been to Stockholm, like, lovely place, like, I didn't go there for work, actually. I actually went on holiday. But, like, do you get to see these places? Or is it very much you're in gig, maybe get a meal, I don't know, and then go? Is it that sort of lifestyle?
I mean, it really depends how long you got there, man. I had two nights in Stockholm. My girlfriend came, which was sick. I'm very glad that she came along to that. So I got a bit of time with her. And then you get to look around a bit more.
Okay.
Well, flip side of that, though, is I'll tell you what, when you tour when you're single... Sometimes there's nights out afterwards and you see a lot of it there, I'll tell you that. You see, I'm seeing a lot of places there, I'll tell you that. Wherever I haven't seen yet, I'm
going. You're seeing a lot of places, a lot of things.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. I don't remember half of it, but you know.
It's true.
There's a bit of that as well.
It's true, I mean, yeah, I think.
Saying yes, no one says yes, like a single man on tour, no one says yes quicker than that.
Yeah, facts. Finish your gig, do you want to go out? Yes.
Yeah. You're already putting your jacket. I'm finishing the show. Anyway, thanks for coming, guys. Anyone out after this? Like, yeah, that's the main reason why I'm here, yeah.
Jump back in, finish, come off the stage, jump straight back into the crowd. Okay, what's next? Okay, after this, we're going
what's
out.
What's the motive, yeah.
Has there been a gig that's been your worst? Is there one that sticks in your mind? Or is there one that is
there's two. So have you ever heard of gong shows?
Gong shows?
Yes, a lot of people won't know them. So basically they're comedy shows that happen on an amateur level.
Right.
And they'll be at the big clubs like Comedy Store, Up the Creek, these places in London and all across the UK.
Have you done Comedia, sorry, in Britain?
Yeah. So I'm actually doing there tomorrow. I'm doing my tour show there.
Hey, you're sick, bro.
No, yeah, I'm not doing the time. I'm actually doing The Forge, so I shouldn't say that. Comedia I did last tour. But yeah, I've done Comedia a few times. Yeah, the
bro,
weekends
you've
there.
You've done all the big venues, bro.
Well, there's bigger venues than that, but I've done pretty much all the major clubs of the UK, yeah, of course.
So,
but your job's just doing a long time. That's just what happens. It's like, they're talking to football about the stadiums they've gone to, but it's just a job. You know, do you celebrate postman for delivering letters? Do you celebrate that? That's his job.
That's his job.
His job is to do comedy clubs. That's his job right there.
That's a very funny good boy, King.
Just angry.
But that's, sorry, only because, okay, maybe I'm a casual and I was forgetting, yeah, I suppose you do those ones, but because I've been to those, I feel like they're the elite. For me, like top secret, yeah, Comedia, Up the Creek, like, I suppose, yeah.
Well, professional level.
That's what you should be doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, a few years ago, yeah, it would be about trying to get into these places. Mm. Whereas now, yeah, it's just part of the job. So,
fair.
So
sorry.
It's cool.
Sorry, I cut you of the gong show.
But have you ever heard of Kill Tony? Do you know that? In America, it's this big, anyway, lots of American comics coming from it. Basically, point being is like, you go on stage, anyone's allowed to sign up, anyone, no experience needed, you go up. And you do your set, and the crowd, if they're not enjoying it, are encouraged to boo. They boo you, and what they're trying to do is put pressure on three people in the crowd who've all been given like a card. And if those three cards go up because you're bad, then you're off. And so,
where is this based?
There's all over the place. There's different ones. But the ones I remember, the two worst ones, was there was one at Up the Creek in Greenwich. And that one's nicer because you're trying to get to 5 minutes without getting booed off, but they give you 2 minutes where no one's allowed to boo or people can boo, but no one can put up a card, right? So you get 2 minutes to actually try and be funny. Yeah. So it's a bit nicer. And it's called the blackout, right? Because if the cards go up, the lights are off, right?
And that's it.
I go on first. Really, this is my sixth gig ever.
First?
I'm first. And there's no, everyone's amateur, right? So there's no, like the MC comes on and does a bit of like, right, we know what the show is. Let's get it going. Let's get the first victim up, whatever.
Is that how he does? He doesn't say, so you don't before go to the MC and say, this is my name. And
oh, he knows you. He has a list of you, but he doesn't know you. He's not like, oh, I've worked with this guy. He's just like, okay, first one is Alan Ward or whatever, you know. So they're just pulling you up. And then I went up and you get that 2 minutes and I'm just trying to be funny. Nothing, man. Just silence. And it's one of those where they're just, people are just waiting. They're just like, everyone's checking their watch. Like, when can we get this guy off? Oh, and it gets to the point, I'm almost at 2 minutes and I'm, and some sort of joke, I say, Google. Guy just goes, you should have Googled some jokes. Huge laugh. Like, everyone's like, this guy, man, get the him out, man. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's like loving the guy. Oh. And then it shows that 2 minutes is gone. Cards up. I checked my watch afterwards. I did 2 minutes, 6 seconds. Blackout, boom, shit. Lights gone. So yeah, that's that one, was horrible. And then, you know, then I'm on the DLR back, ridiculous place to have a breakdown. We're just on the DLR back going like, oh man, I should got quick comedy, I'm terrible, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, you also say, what are their after effects?
Horrible, horrible. Yeah. But then you just got to get back in it. And then another one that was at the Comedy Store. So there you don't get any 2 minutes grace period. They're just like from the off. Yeah, yeah. So I've got a really good spot, actually. I'm on last in the first half. So there's like 15 acts. Oh. So, you know, they buzzed off a few people. They've got a bit out of the system, right? You don't really want to go first because no one wants the first person. And you don't really want to go last because people are done with it by then.
Yeah.
Kind of in the middle. So on last in the first section, I go on. I'm a bit later in. I'm probably in the comedy about a year now. And I've got a few more gags and jokes and stuff. And I'm doing okay. Right. I'm doing okay. You know, cool. I'm just, you know, just hold on to the 1-0 lead.
Yeah, yeah, just keep the
keep making a few saves. Yeah, you know, so you're not in control, but you're just like, maybe you can hold on. So, I get to about maybe 2 minutes and you're trying to get to five. No one's gone me, no cars gone up.
Okay, good.
And then I'm doing one of my routines. It's going well. And then this guy from the shouts, at the back shouts out, you stole that! And I'm like, what? And he goes, you stole that from Sean Luck.
Are you fucking Sean Luck?
He's one of the best comics. He's not with us anymore, but he's on the UK a lot. But he's in the UK TV a lot. But
did you steal it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the thing. That's why it really threw me, because I was even like, oh, I've been found out, whatever. I was like, what? And he goes, and so I'm like, fuck off, no, I haven't. But everyone's like, like everyone's, because it's not even just like, it's not funny. Oh. Now it's like, you're a fucking cheat, scumbag. So everyone's,
oh, I don't like that.
I'm like now giving it to the crowd. I'm like, fuck you. Yeah. And then boom, 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 cards go straight up. Gong, off I go. And also, the problem is, because I'm last in the first half, they go straight into a break. So now the audience are up and I'm trying to like get my bag on and my jacket on as quick as possible. So I'm like, quite tears in my eyes. I'm like, people think I'm a cheat. People think I've just died. And there's 400 people there. It was Halloween night, I remember, because there were four guys dressed as the Grim Reaper because they were there for comedy deaths. So they each had a jug of beer, not a pint, but each had a jug of beer under their seats, ready to sit in and just watch people die on stage. And I was trying to get everything to get out, and everyone was like walking past me, like looking at me like dirty looks and stuff like that. Oh, you fucking scumbag and stuff. And I get out, and I remember like I got tears in my eyes. I just see like Leicester Square, and this song, I don't even know, Rolling Stones, Start Me Up, comes on. Honestly, every time I hear that song, it just takes me back to that Leicester Square. And it's a banging song, annoyingly, as well.
So I just
get transported back to that. But then I went back and watched, and it's not the same routine, but he has an act out, like the act out I was doing. It was about having a fringe or something like that. And so I never did that again. I was just like, I never want to have that again. It was like one of my strongest bits, but I was like, no, I'm never doing that again.
That's
so
savage.
So yeah, it was horrid.
I'm surprised you didn't go and find the man. I suppose you're so emotionally invested in your craft to go and find the man and be like, and call him out and be like, what? Like, I didn't steal this.
Oh, no, but I just want to remove myself, man. It's really stink. Oh, but it's like when you have, like, you ever come off football, you have a terrible game, you gave away the penalty, you got a red card or whatever. You're not there being like, oh, lads, what can we learn from that? Like, you're just like, nah, get me on the bus. Yeah, yeah.
It's a great way to look at it. Mm. Okay, let's. Bloody hell.
I'm very one-dimensional, says Will. That's the thing. I only have comedy and football as my interests. So thank God we're here.
I can see. But listen, they're not bad interests.
I think they're all right.
I think they're good. They lead to a happy but can be a sad life. But
we had this with the boys at the first group. We were like, what makes us interesting people? And we're like, I don't know. Like, what do you do, or whatever you're interested in? It's like, I could tell you who the starting right back is for Brentford, but that doesn't make me interesting.
That's so mad you say that, because I had a conversation with a female this week. I was just trying, someone I met, a new female in my life, and I was just like, what are you interested in? Like, and she was like, well, nothing. And I was like, so there's nothing you like wake up for, like have a passion for? She's like, no, not really. Yeah, and I was like, oh, I was like, that's quite interesting. And she's like, so what do you, so what? I said, well, I love football. And they were like, and I was like, but some, I don't want to be too attached to football because it can really get my emotions. But I think I am that fan now. I'm really attached to football. Mm. I was like, but is that all I've got? But she was like, I have no interest. She's like, I'm quite plain and like quite bland. Like, I need to find an interest. I was like, I don't know if you need to, but there must be something you're passionate about. She's like, literally nothing.
A lot of people like that though, man. Yeah. I mean, we're weird. We're the weird ones, right? Sitting in a studio. Yeah. No one's asked us to do this. People are going to stop, right?
And we can talk about football for ages.
Yeah, 100%. But we can do that. But a lot of people, they're just doing a job they don't really care about. They go home, TV on, scroll, and get on. You know, they're looking for marriage, kids, or whatever their future plans is. But there's not like a thing in life apart from the basic stuff. But yeah, do you ever have this where when you're talking about emotional football with your partner? Where like my girlfriend, I'm just like kind of a bit quiet in a mood and stuff. And normally I'm quite happy and stuff. Yeah. And my girlfriend's like, really, she really sensitive. She's a really loving, caring partner. She's like, you know, she's like, what's up? Like, what's like? And I want to say something like really important, but I'm like,
this football.
But it's like, oh, like, the centre back's injured. And they've got a game this weekend. Like, that's and it's not even like a particular result. It's like I'm just now in a worse mood because of some news related to my team. I was like, well, it's just like Liverpool won, like now with the top four race. And she couldn't care less. As soon as she hears that, she goes, oh, it's nothing.
Yeah.
But, but it is to me.
Ali, I walked in last night. She goes, I know they lost. I was like, yeah. Mm. And I was like, I don't even want to talk about it. That's the thing. I kind of want to just have my time.
Yeah, same.
And then she was like, then she starts on the question like, should they have won though? I was like, well, I can't really, kind of, yeah, but no, it's a final. And she was like, so then what went wrong? She's my partner, that's my partner's name. I was like, I don't really want to talk about it. She was like, oh, well, I'm just trying to be, I know, but like.
I know, because she would want that from you. If she came in somehow happened at work or whatever, she would want you to be like, oh, so what did they do or what happened? But no, you're like, get me in the hole, just like, decompress, yes, deal with it.
Let's just put something else on the TV. Let's just talk about your day. And anyway, right, that's our emotional
therapy. Football therapy going on there.
And after this, we're going to talk about what we've seen in the week and we'll get to kind of what we just discussed, that City versus Arsenal Cup final in the Carabao Cup after this. VAR, you serious on FUBAR Radio? Okay, let's attack it head on. I've got in my show notes to talk about what happened this weekend and this week. Be honest, there's not really much that's caught my attention bar the football. And that might sound quite mundane. This is a football show at the end of the day. We have been speaking a lot about other things around football. So now we'll get into it. We'll go straight into the meat of FUBAR. VAR, you serious? And let's discuss, firstly, this weekend, like I said, I didn't really see too much. It was World Down Syndrome Day on Saturday, which I supported where I could. Obviously donated and wore some different colour socks. Did what I need to do with that. I went out on Friday, took a social, went out with a few friends.
How'd you do?
Not too bad. Yeah,
it's stressful, talk of social.
It is very stressful. Especially, it's very competitive. And coming from a football background, I had a lot to prove. I was with a lot of football fans from that on YouTube and we had a good time. And I ended up going out with... my friend is a guy who's just come out of Love Island recently. His name's Harrison. He's known as the Young Bull. He's currently with Bell. And he's not from London. He's actually ex-professional footballer. He's at Derby County. But he's a good friend of mine. And he was like, can you show me London? And I felt very pressured because I was like, I don't go out anymore.
Mate, it's horrible. When people come to your city, like, what's good here? I don't know. I get taken places. I end up in places. I've not got a list. Tell me what to do in Stockholm. I'll give you a few examples. You know what I mean? That's mad.
That's so true. I travel when we go to like Europe for football and I'm like, I go to really nice restaurants. That's like my task. Like, I want to find really nice places to eat. Yeah. So if I'm away, I know where to go. And I know 100%. All the top restaurants.
I've got the list.
Yeah, when we're in London, I'm like... So it was like, take me out. I was like scrambling, like sending promoters messages like, are you still working? As you can all imagine, my weekend wasn't great. And then it ended with Arsenal versus Manchester City in the Carabao Cup final. We lost 2-0. The producer of the show, as you all know, who's a City fan. He was there. I was there. Listen, I don't want to spend too long in it. First 45 minutes.
Let's get into it, I think.
Yeah, I mean...
Big. What do you actually think about it? Like,
well, they,
probably. What happened... What went wrong?
Before the game, a lot of fans I spoke to, I went to Box Park, the infamous Box Park before the game at Wembley. It was Arsenal. It was the Arsenal. Obviously, they select what team they give the fan zone, and it was Arsenal in Box Park. And a lot of fans, to my surprise, were like, we're going to win 3-1, 3-0, 4-0. And I was like, I don't know what Arsenal you've been watching this season. Mm. As much as I love the optimism, I love the confidence, I'm one of those fans. But I'm like, there's no way this is going to be a goal fest for Arsenal. Mm. Like, in the past couple of performances, you know, we get over the line for a set piece or whatnot, especially tight games, good teams. It's very much close and it's to the wire.
But that's the Premier League anyway. Like, who's beating anyone 4-0 nowadays?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It used to be, you'd see that result every weekend, someone would get battered. Mm. 4-5, 6-0 sometimes.
Back in the day, but this season, it's really tough. Like, the way the...
To win by 3 goals is a huge, like, wow.
It's a big thing. Yeah. So I was like, okay, look, I predicted 1-0. And then we found out early in the day that Eze is not available because of injury, which no one saw coming. That was the player that we needed in the creative role. We're not number 10 because Martin Odegaard's out. So I was like, okay, look, I'm a little less confident. No Timber as well. That threw me a lot, actually, Timber. Because Doku was playing as well. I thought, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
What was up with Timber?
Again, another injury. I think he was coming back from injury. I think it was his hamstring. I think he was trying to come back from injury, but he didn't make it back in time. So we played Ben White, who actually hasn't been playing much this season. Good player, but hasn't been playing much. So was already on the back foot.
You had to tell him where you were in the league and say he doesn't watch football and stuff. He didn't know what was going on.
Exactly. And also, the fact that Jurrien Timber wasn't starting, that put me on the back foot. But like I said, I can't argue or moan too much about injuries because I preach that we have the best squad in the league. Mm-hmm. I preach that we have...
I think that's why you're winning the league. But a lot of that's down to two quality players in each position.
Correct. And then on top of that, I said, like, okay, look, defender might be out, but we have loads of defenders. Arteta's strength in that area. We have all our attack. So that's it. We have all our attack. Yes, there's no Eze, there's no Mikel Merino, but that's not our attack. When it comes to strikers and wingers, we have them. So get the job done. We have enough at the back. So I went into it semi-confident. I was 1-0 before the game, like many days before the game. And when I found out that news, I stayed at 1-0. I said, we can win this 1-0 still. Game kicks off. I am nervous, but the game is very, it's here nor there. You know nowadays in the Premier League, the first couple of minutes is just teams finding out what you're going to do. It's just jousting.
Especially in a final.
Exactly.
How many finals are entertaining, truly? Like, if you win, great, but there's important big moments, but you don't see a open final in the first half.
Yeah, actually, funny. I'm trying to think. I think Rashford scored a mad goal against City in a final for you guys. But I also remember, I think City scored very early on in one of the games in a final, a few seasons ago. It normally starts, especially this season, starts very much of teams trying to figure themselves out. That's how it started, all well and good. We got to halftime. I mean, it was fine. I was at halftime, 0-0, I said, it's all well and good.
You had the bigger chances.
Yep, and I agree with that. I think people would say that towards the back end of that half, City were kind of building their momentum. But I still felt like if Arteta has a good talk with the players this half, we come out firing and then make a few changes and we win this game. Because I thought our bench, it was stronger than City's bench, which it was. So I was like, okay, cool. We can make subs, we can win this game. Brother, Ali, the second half started and I swear to God, it was like the whole team was still in the change room. I was like, City just came out of the traps and they were on us. And the funny thing is, I sat next to people obviously I don't know them. And I was just like, they're going to score. And they were like, no, just we're defending well. I said, they're going to score. Like, I feel it.
Like animals know there's a storm coming.
There you go.
There's something about it.
I was going to say I've played the game, so I kind of can sense it. But I actually think football fans, we know, we've watched football long enough. We know what's going to happen. And again, I sensed it. Obviously, it was a mistake from Kepa. And we're going to talk about it. Why not? I don't think Kepa should have started that game. I've been on record saying it. I said, play your strongest team. However, I am also aware that in contracts, especially when you're a second goalkeeper, I know agents, they would say, listen, you have to give them the cup runs. And that's in your contract. So
it's in the contract, really.
Wow, yeah. I even saw a video this morning from an agent that said it would have been in his contract to play. If he's available and fit, he has to play in these games.
What, League Cup and FA Cup, but not Champions League?
I think...
Surely not Champions League.
It can't
League.
Be Champions
League. No.
Yeah, I don't think you can guarantee a Champions League run. But I know they would have had it in... It would have been a cup. They would have at least one or two minimum would have been a cup.
Should have taken that out, man. People might still think he's a good keeper.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not even going to make it too much of an excuse because James Trafford started in goal, who's the younger goalkeeper between the two. Kepa's still the most expensive.
He made important
goalkeeper.
Saves in that first...
In the first... Yeah, Havertz should have scored. He made a very good save at Havertz chance. He made it very difficult for Havertz to score. I think a lot of fans are really on the back of Havertz for not taking that chance. But I actually think James Trafford did really well. But yeah, I think Kepa making that big mistake shows that, you know, sometimes you just got overruled, especially when your team, like Arsenal, haven't had a trophy since in 6 years. And that was a defining factor of the game. And then after that, the confidence of the team just disappeared. And then City go on and score the second.
It felt a bit football heritage, that, I think. Second half, it could have been that. Maybe City went into it, you know, they're not in good form.
Yeah.
Arsenal team, they thought, we're going to get like a real Arsenal team who are so up for it because they want to secure that trophy. They want to beat us, make a statement in there. And then, you know, at halftime sometimes, I mean, we kind of had it Man United against City at Old Trafford this year. Well, at halftime, you're kind of like, these guys aren't actually that.
Yeah.
They're not that on it.
That's what
So
what
let's go City play our game. And I think that's kind of...
That's exactly what I thought City felt. Yeah. It's exactly what I thought what they felt when they came out of the second half and said, off. Like Pep would have said, see, and I think this a lot of times actually when Arsenal play against other teams that are supposed to be superior. Listen, I'm not going to be supposed to be superior to City, but I just think they think at halftime, look, guys, look, they're not what you think they are. All this talk of them being, you know, top of Premier League, top of Champions League at the time, and all this, you're in this game, go and win it. And you know what? I'll take my red. I haven't got my red glasses on today, clearly, because we lost. My red tinted glasses. I'll come away from being an Arsenal fan and look at it from the just a perspective of a neutral fan, that fair play to Nico O'Reilly. Like, for England, there was conversations of whether he should go and should he be starting, should he be playing. That just shows in a big final, in a big game, he's up for it. Mm-hmm. And he's young and he was quality in that game. Mm-hmm. Absolute quality. Got man of the match, of course, for the goals. Scored both the goals. But like, even defensively, inverting confidence, all of that, how powerful and strong he is, fair play to him. And he should be going to England. I think there's been a lot of discussion on who should be going. Obviously,
As a left back.
Yeah, I know there's the new guy. Is it Lewis Hall?
Lewis Hall, yeah.
Yeah, Lewis Hall's been phenomenal as well.
Yeah.
But Nico O'Reilly, I wanted to see him in a big pressured game, and he done well. He's the one that stepped up.
Yeah, he's good. He's such a strange physique and what he is as well.
Is.
Like this
Facts.
Tall guy, really strong, but also quick and nimble with his feet and stuff. Yeah, he's annoying. Actually, yeah. I don't like him.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Like yeah, I don't like
now
him.
Now I'm putting back on my glasses and that.
But remember last time I was here, we were chatting about Gyökeres. But
yeah.
I told you, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, you did.
He helps you beat those teams in the bottom half of the table, gets those goals in important moments when you need to beat a team 1-2, you know, 0. But if he was starting for me in a final, I wouldn't be happy.
Well, that's what you just said there, Ali, is that's what we brought Gyökeres for, though. Mm. Like,
so it helped you win the league, right? I bet he generally has helped you win the league.
And he scored those goals against those teams where, like Everton, like,
first goal.
Yeah, first goal. So like, that game not traditionally, but of the past would have been a 0-0 because the ball will be in the box, there'll be no one there.
Yeah.
So he is scoring goals. However, like you just mentioned, in a final, you kind of need more quality than that.
Yeah.
Against good defenders, you need someone that's going to cause them more problems. And funny you say that, when Jesus come on, he hit the crossbar, he actually played. Mm-hmm. Probably done. He did more than what Gyökeres did in 20 minutes than he did in 70. So well assessed, because you actually, it's a good point. And you did say that last time we were here. I forgot about
it. I'm very knowledgeable. I particularly started a thesis on Arsenal failure as a North London Man United fan. It's my area of expertise.
I get that. Well, being a North London Man United fan, I think we've done enough of the... Actually, I will finish by saying to you and asking you actually on the whole City Arsenal, does it affect the title race, that loss yesterday?
No.
You still think?
No. Arsenal are going to win the league.
Even with the mental, like the.
No. I don't think that comes into it.
Okay.
Arsenal, you've set up a team that just is able to generate points weekly from not having to play that well. It's not like, so for instance, if you were like high flying and like dominating teams, like going, and then you just got schooled, it would, I think, be a confidence knockback.
Yeah.
But I think you can set up the next game. Be absolutely fine. I think it'll be absolutely fine.
I like that.
From this position. Also, I think City aren't like good this year. Like they're not. They've got the quality of players to come in and win like a one-off. Yeah. But then, if you talk about what points they have to make up to overtake you, I don't think you even need to be that special.
Yeah,
like it's like how I feel as a United fan sitting on 55 points with Liverpool and Chelsea behind. I'm like, but they're not doing well. You know what I mean? How are they going to suddenly change? How are City suddenly going to now win 7 games in a row when they've not been consistent like that all season?
That's actually a really good way to look at it, because you're right. From a Man United perspective, you're actually getting better, but the other teams around you, they're not consistent enough. But you guys feel like you're going like this.
That's another job, the Rosinha Chelsea job. You might be up for that one.
We're going to talk. Don't worry, we're going to talk. As soon as I finish, I'm trying to get rid of this section onto that. But yeah, you guys are doing that. And Arsenal, I think, listen, I don't think our trajectory is actually going up, but you're right. I think we're so adamant that we won't lose games. I think the point gap now, 9 points, I know they've got a game in hand, City. I don't think City it sounds awful saying, are good enough to overtake that gap. When it comes to the title, I think it might be just too far gone, and I hope and pray that is the case. I don't think it will unravel. Speaking to Arsenal fans, I've seen it online. This is where the bottling happens. This is where the capitulation happens. This is why Arteta's not the man. Relax.
We've been waiting for that. There's been multiple times in the last 3 months where people are going, this is where they bottled it. And you haven't.
Yeah.
And also, City aren't the City of a couple of years ago that are just going to now get 21 out of 21 points. So they'll drop points as well. It'll be very Premier League for City to beat Arsenal 2-0 in a final, and then next week, whoever they've got or whatever, you know, Nottingham Forest or whatever, and then just like drop points again. So
let's go forward then. My producer's smiling, and I'm now going to move forward. And I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to compartmentalise that, put it to the side, and let's move on to what we saw for the rest of the weekend in football. This is VAR, are you serious? We are going to do football talk, and there's enough things that we can talk about that I can enjoy and laugh about.
VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
We'll start with Spurs. We'll start with Spurs. Why not?
Just put a little cheer yourself up. Yeah, give yourself a treat.
And then we'll roll into Chelsea. Two teams I hate with an absolute passion. But I should have went Chelsea because Chelsea actually annoy me a little bit more. But we'll go Tottenham. I was on the way to Wembley. And I didn't miss the build up. I was on the way there. And then people were saying North London is chaotic at the moment. I thought it was Arsenal fans getting ready to watch the final. Turns out I'm seeing Tottenham fans on buses, on the bus stops. I saw flares. For Nottingham Forest, I saw flares.
Big 6 pointer, man. Biggest game they've had for a little while.
Ali, flares in the streets for Nottingham Forest at home. I couldn't believe.
Well, at least they won, though. At least it's not embarrassing if you win. It's not embarrassing if it works. Fair play to them. Fair play to the Spurs fans. You made a good account of yourself. You inspired the team. You got the important 3 points. You didn't lose a team that had gone away from home in Europe to play 120 minutes and penalties. You didn't get spanked by them at home. So well done. Yeah. Well done to Spurs. Let's give them credit. Yeah.
The 3 points, they didn't get the 3 points. They got 3-0'd, which is unbelievable. A lot of Arsenal fans came out of Wembley and said, look, I don't like them saying, it put a smile on my face seeing what happened with Tottenham. Of course, they are rivals, but that doesn't change the fact we obviously lost a final. But looking back at it and the fact that they were on the streets, flares, on the bus stops, all of that. And I don't even get the sentiment to G them up, because I thought that they were really angry with their team. Mm. I thought they were booing their team at home.
They leave early, don't they? Yeah.
So when I was so bewildered. Like, I get it. Okay, maybe, I don't know who spoke to them. I don't know what influencer or what manager. I don't know who came up with the idea of, this is the game get behind the Forest.
The old derby. Yeah. The old derby. Yeah. Nottingham Spurs. Right. The one that everyone looks for that in the calendar. Everyone's like, when Spurs play Nottingham at home?
I don't know who decided that. But it did really make me laugh. I don't know what you think of it. Do you think they're going down? Do you think that was a clear sign to say, this team really aren't good enough? Where are you at with that whole?
So I'll just say about what my experience was of that yesterday. So I was hanging with my friend. A mate you haven't caught up with for a while. We do these sort of jobs. You don't actually get to actually have quality time with your friends. Cool. So we're sitting there. They're football, great. And he's a Spurs fan.
Oh, he's a Spurs fan.
So that's it's killer. It's on. And when it goes to 2-0, I kind of go, do you want to switch to the Villa game? And he's like, yeah. We switched to the Villa game because he's like, I can't.
God, yeah, fair.
And then, you know that one in the Sky Sports do where it's in the Villa game and then it goes, score update, Spurs, Forest. And he goes, hold on.
Oh, he said, hold on.
He's like, hold on. He's like, let's switch it back. 3-0. He had that hope that kills you. He was like, well, here we go. The comeback's on. 3-0. And then it was one of those where I couldn't, because of how sorry the state of it is and how I hadn't seen him for a while. Yeah. I had to kind of be like, oh man, that does suck. Like, I couldn't be like laughing in his face because the reality of it is crazy. Because until a couple of weeks ago, until even after like the 4-1 derby, I kind of still thought, football, that was a bit of a free hit.
They're going to stay in the league though. That's
and like they've got too much quality in the squad.
I've been
through.
I've been in
absolutely.
That
But man, like a couple, I was like, wow, these guys
could go down.
Truly, truly. But it's always the one where like you're looking at relegation prospects, who's conceding the most goals? Because you can get those clean sheets, those 1-0s, those a draw here and there when you're down there, and it's huge. But if you're every game you're conceding 2+ goals, then how are you gonna? I mean, because the Liverpool result, even that one, the draw, I was like, oh, maybe they got something about them. They go beat Atletico, but even that's like 3-2. They're still conceding two goals.
Exactly.
So it's like you can't be getting points conceding 2 goals a game.
They're 1 point off the drop zone.
Yeah, yeah, and they were fortunate that Villa kind of turned up against West Ham, because that could have been difficult for them. But yeah, it's actually crazy, and I wouldn't be surprised. But you know, I was there in Bilbao in May when they beat us after a horrific game.
Terrible game.
So I'm all for it. All for it. They're playing the Champions League anthem. I don't know what the championship anthem is. Play that in your dressing room. All line up, get the video out. EFL, Manish back in the downstairs bit when it used to have Match of the Day and used to have EFL highlights back in the day.
Yeah.
Get that guy back to do your games. Because it's almost, before the Liverpool game, I was at the point where I was almost like, it's almost a big ask for them to stay up. Like, it's almost a story now. If they did stay up, then it's almost like, wow, we like found something in ourselves.
Well, that's...
Because the way you're seeing it now, unless West Ham, you know, next 7 games really struggle to pick up points, maybe Leeds are getting brought back into it. You know, they're to Old Trafford next game, so hopefully they don't get any points there. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's true as
but
well.
But yeah, but they, I mean, where are the wins coming from?
Well, that's
they haven't won in 2026. Ali, and we're going to be in April by the time we play football again.
That's it. I think like last season, like, obviously, you and Tottenham flirted with relegation, but we all knew that you weren't going to get relegated.
And there were three bad teams. There were three very bad teams.
Right.
Whereas this time, there's two bad teams. And even there, like, even Wolves and that are coming, like, not terrible. So you can't even, I don't know if Spurs play Burnley or Wolves, but you can't even say they're going to be guaranteed wins.
No, they can't guarantee.
But West Ham, Spurs, Forest, and Leeds, if you think about those four being the four, like, you know, there's not much between any of them.
Oh, that's it. I just think it's getting, listen, it's not like I care they're my rivals, but I'm just like, I'm shocked we're actually at the stage. Like, what Tottenham are, the players they have, and some people say, oh, they're championship players, but I don't think that. I think, listen, I've seen a lot of those. Kudus, are you taking a mick? Quality player, by the way.
Yeah.
They got Kudus-esque. I know a lot of these players.
Romero's a World Cup winner. It's mad.
That is crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Could be in a championship.
Yeah. But that's when the hierarchy of putting Tudor in charge as well.
Yeah.
They could have just got someone solid.
I don't know how he's still in the job, I'll be honest.
Yeah, he might be. He might be off soon.
Don't know how he's still in the job, but...
Did you see him? Did you talk about last week where he goes to the guy who's not on a slot to give him a handshake? And that man's crazy. Supposed to keep you up.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know.
Doesn't even know
who the manager is of the other team.
Crazy. Crazy. That is boredism.
But I agree with you, because it's like, I actually don't think there's bad players in that team.
No, there's not.
I don't think so. But whatever's happened over the last year... The managers, the three managers they've had, none of them can get these people. Or the atmosphere around the club, the stadium, whatever it is, these managers, these players are all over the place, man.
Yeah.
How can you concede 2 goals a game and expect to stay up? It's mad.
Let's quickly run through then. Chelsea, Rosinha, because we've got to talk about that quickly, 3-0. And then we can talk about United, because you're a United fan and you're a passionate United fan. And we have to give you a little United section. I have to do it. But let's just quickly do Chelsea, Rosinha. My friend Matisse, he's left the country after the 3-0 defeat against Everton.
He's on the run.
He's a big content creator, and he looks like Liam Rosinha. Like, he knows that he'll be getting a lot of heat, and he just said, I'm gone. And he's left. And funny enough, I'm doing the same tomorrow. But... I'm going after the final loss. But Chelsea, I mean, I thought they were, because at the time they'd only lost to Arsenal, Liam Rosinha. So I was like, okay, look, there must be some positives here. But then every time I speak to Chelsea fans, they're like, Cecil, we've drawn a load of games we shouldn't have been drawing, and we're not playing great. I'm telling you, we're not as good. We're not good. You may keep saying that he hasn't lost apart from against you guys, but we've been bad. And then, yeah, I saw that game against Everton. I said, no, okay, they are bad. There's problems. Yeah.
Well, mate, I mean, I'll be honest. To be fair, in the recent games, they seem to like be. It's one of those where the XG compared to what's actually happening in terms of goals is like not going in their favour. They're conceding quite a few worldies and stuff. But you know, when you just get the smell of a team, like the nature of them, you're looking at them, you're like, this is not a team that's working together.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I said it with Rosinha ages ago, where I was like, they were on this really good form, but I'm like, they haven't played any good teams. They played Arsenal twice and lost both of those games. Yeah. And now we're just seeing that they've got this terrible run in. PSG and Everton away is a tough game, and who are they going to
beat? Did you see it coming a little bit against Everton, or did you?
With Everton, I was a bit more like, well, I think it's a tough game, But yeah, I didn't expect 3-0. I thought it was going to be pretty close, and they still got a lot of quality players. But it's just so annoying to see Garnacho proving us wrong, man. That's what's really, like, man, he's just doing so well. He's scoring so many goals, Garnacho. He's, like, fantastic, great attitude. And he's really showing, like, I'm really, like, you know, because he said, like, oh, I'm not going to go to another a foreign team. I'm going to stay in the Prem to prove them wrong.
So you want him to buy, you want Chelsea to buy him. You'd love that, would you?
What, Garnacho? He's bought. They bought him for 40 mil.
Oh, my God, No,
he's not on loan. Sancho was the one last year where he was on loan, and then they paid to not have him.
Yeah.
Just mad as a player, man.
So I love that United fans always try to convince Chelsea, like, no, he is the man. Just keep believing in him.
But it's also, I mean, you have played football at high level. You mentor footballers. I think we've seen a bit, like, you've got a team of players that young.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because these intangibles we talk about, like the Graham Souness is sitting back and going, well, they're not got any leadership on the team, you know. But it's like, They're showing that there is something in that, yeah. Right? You need some older players, some senior players. Like, you're looking at our team with players like Casemiro, Bruno, Harry Maguire. And I know Maguire didn't have a great weekend, but they're players who, when things are rocky, they can just sort things out, settle things down.
But that young team did win the Club World Cup, like, and that is...
Wait, so pre-season tournament, yeah, man? What are you talking about? That's warm weather training.
I'm trying to do the other side.
That's not
I'm
real.
I'm trying to
the Conference League. We've got three players. We could win the Conference League. Get a few of us more in there, man. Who did they play? They were playing like the Bosnian fifth best team, whatever in that. You know, what are they actually winning? What teams are they actually beating?
Yeah.
And then I'll start taking them seriously. So, there's this thing with managers like Rosinha, man. It's like, you need a bit about you to manage a big club. Yeah. And Chelsea, for all their faults, I hate them, but they are a big club. They get a lot of heat. Thanks. And you can see the person coming in, and he might be an incredibly intelligent guy, an incredibly well-read person on football, and do great things with a smaller team. And we had it with Amorim, where it's like, but you need someone about you to take the heat. And I just don't think he has it.
Okay, let's close the show then on just quickly United. Then you are a big club as well. Michael Carrick, just where are you at right now? Just to close, are you clearly loving your Manchester United side? Is he going to get the... Do you want him to get the full-time job? Gary Neville, I spoke to last week, said he doesn't want him to get the full-time job. Do you want that? Do you see Man United finishing in third or second?
What was Gary Neville... Was he saying because we need a big manager?
Yeah,
he was adamant about that.
And I said, yeah, that's funny because he's my friend, but I don't want him to get the job.
Well, I mean, I've kind of always said, let's talk about it in May because you don't know what's going to happen. We might lose 7 games from here. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the options for manager are slimming down.
Yeah.
So, you know, a couple of months ago, there was way more. And now, really, it's not looking great. You know, the likes of Tuchel, Ancelotti have sort of ruled themselves out. Enrique's got another year on his contract. There was a time where he looked like he might leave PSG in the summer. Mm. Don't really see that happening now. In terms of loving it, I'll tell you what, like, he's done a great job. He's done a fantastic job. We haven't been playing brilliantly. We haven't been playing badly. I mean, that Arsenal game and the City game, those first two games were fantastic.
Unbelievable.
City, we should have beat 4-5-0, really. With three disallowed goals, rightly so. But, like, inches in them, hit the post, all that. But, you know, a lot of games since then have kind of been similar. They've been a bit of a slog. He's not changing much up. So teams know how they're going to play against us. We're not really going and battering teams. But, you know, in terms of getting the points, it's great. And to be fair, I think it's him or Nagelsmann for me. They're the only two I wouldn't take someone like an Iraola or a Glasner. Same thing as what we're talking about with Rosinha, yeah. Amorim. You need that big personality. Those managers almost need to go manage like a Spurs, probably in the Championship next year. Like just that sort of they're still a stepping stone club to a big club.
Yeah.
Even though they've got a lot of history and stuff. So I'd say between those two, really. But if Carrick, if we finish third, I think give Carrick the job. But what my big thing is, enough of this two-year contract maximum from now on, whoever the manager is, because that's the cycle of football.
I like that. And Ali, we'll leave it there because we've got the clip. If he finishes third, give him the job. Thank you very much. Ali Woods in the place for VAR. You seriously joined us today as a special guest. Please, please, please go get tickets to his tour if you are in any of the areas that he's mentioned throughout this show. And thank you again for coming on the show today, Ali.
VAR, you serious on FUBAR Radio.